You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
American soccer fans, welcome to episode 118 of the USA SoccerCast. We are bringing you everything about the U.S. national teams, the players, the leagues, and everything else that impacts the game of soccer in these United States. I'm Donald Wine. It's October 26th, 2023. As I speak, the U.S. women's national team is about to take the field and play Colombia in Utah. We are not obviously going to be talking about that match because that match is about to start as I record. But we do have some men's national team things and I guess a women's national team adjacent thing that we are going to talk about on this show. We are going to talk about the new home jersey, at least the prediction of the home jersey for 2024 that the U.S. men's national team and women's national team could be wearing. We are also going to talk about the World Cup, the 2026 World Cup. L.A. apparently out. And maybe, according to some, Vegas may be in. And also some updates about where the World Cup final could be. And then after the break, I have my man, Eric Schmitz, who is myself and him are two-thirds of the World of CONCACAF podcast. And he is on this show to discuss a timeless debate that started 2 days ago with Jozy Altidore saying that the 2014 men's national team could beat this 2023 men's national team. So we will talk about that and have break down the rosters and the debate after that. But first, let's start with the home jersey. This was a few days ago, or I guess it was a week ago at this point. We're entering kind of that season where all of the 2024 international jerseys start to leak, and maybe some people like to guess on what these jerseys are going to look like. Some may have a little bit more accuracy, but Footy Headlines is notorious for leaking a bunch of different jerseys. And a week ago, they are claiming that they have a close prediction of what it's going to look like for the United States in 2024. With 80% accuracy, they called it, they have what they said was the design of the 2024 home jersey that the men and the women would wear starting in March or April. Now, according to them, the home jersey is expected to be a predominantly white jersey. A lot of people probably aren't surprised by that. It keeps in line with most of U.S. soccer's most recent home jerseys. But the style is a plain white jersey that, at least on first glance, looks like the 2020 home jersey. However, the 2024 offering will have a collar that is half navy and switches to a red and white stripe pattern that mimics the stripes on the American flag. On the sleeves, you have the cuffs that would have the same stripe pattern, with the final stripe on the hem being navy, and the U.S. soccer crest would remain on the left chest and not over the center like we saw for the 2022 jersey. It would go back to the left like we see on the 2023 jerseys for the women and also for the men. The Nike swoosh would then be on the right chest. It's unclear, according to this, because it was a blank jersey that was being produced as a prediction, so it's unclear where the number would be, if it's expected to be in the middle of the jersey on the front or under the crest as it was for the 2020 jersey, but it's expected to be navy. And at the same time, we don't know what the color of the shorts and socks will be, but my guess is navy will be included in either the shorts or the socks. Now, for me, y'all know me. If you know me, you've known that I am a fan of the Waldos, and the Waldos have should have been our home jersey for a very long time. I've been the hugest proponent and the president, CEO, and chairman of the Waldo fan club. And I think when it comes to 2024, we have, again, a major opportunity that we could use to our advantage. We have the Olympics, we have the 2024 W Gold Cup for the women, and we have 2024 Copa America, which we are set to try and qualify for next month via the Nations League. We also have the Nations League finals. There's a lot going on in 2024, and we'll have the resumption of the Nations League in the fall of 2024. There's a lot of opportunities just in 2024 alone to wear a jersey that represents the United States and represents our style, or represents our uniqueness, and represents our diversity. And a white jersey just doesn't do it. Now, will I buy this jersey? Is it offensive, like kind of the 2022 jerseys felt like for a lot of people? No, it's not offensive. In fact, the 2020 jersey is fine. I have a couple of those in my closet. I have a couple of everything in my closet, but namely that one. And this won't look any different than some of the jerseys that are already in your closet or mine. But I think when it comes to the 2024 jersey, if it's not a setup for a huge 2026 jersey, the 2026 jersey is super important. And they need to nail it. They need to get it right. There cannot be a miss in that one, because that will set you up for the next 30 years. And if they can't put that together, then they're going to lose a lot of fans. They're going to lose a lot of branding and marketing and whatever you want to call it. They're going to lose a lot of that momentum. And you may be out there thinking like, Donald, the jersey is not going to be the end all be all of momentum. But yes, it can be. It can unify a nation, especially when they are hosting a World Cup. Think of all the teams that have hosted World Cups and how everyone in that stadium is rocking the home jersey. Every single person, all the teams that come and visit, they like Argentina. I swear these people would show up with being there for the whole month and show up with 40 different jerseys that all look the same. But every day it was a different jersey, but it was the same jersey. And anytime you walked, you knew who was an Argentine fan. You knew who was a French fan. You knew who was a Croatian fan, because their jerseys have identity and ours have not. Ours have had different designs, different colors over the years, and people latch on to different things. So I'm hoping that if they have an opportunity to create this as a jersey identity, if this is where they want to go, they need to announce that and make it where people start to get behind it and own it. You may have to give away some jerseys. You may have to give away some shirts that look the same way, scarves that look the same, so that we can get used to showing up wearing the home jersey in representing the United States of America whenever we are in a soccer stadium or a football stadium to support our men's national team and our women's national team. I just don't know if the white jersey is going to do it. I honestly don't think it will, because they're going to probably change it in 2025 and give you something a little bit different. But for now, if you look at the jersey, it's online at starsandstripes.fc.com. Also at Footy Headlines, they have the prediction that they have. We'll have to see if people like it. You tell us if you like it at USA SoccerCast, or again, usasoccercast@gmail.com. We move on to the World Cup, the 2026 World Cup, that is. And a couple weeks ago, there was reports that SoFi Stadium, which is the home of the LA Chargers and the LA Rams, and was set to be one of the centerpieces, at least as far as stadium venues go, for the 2026 World Cup, apparently is out. The owner of the stadium, Stan Kroenke, who owns the LA Rams, also Arsenal, also the Colorado Rapids, Also, a lot of teams in Denver, including the Avalanche and the Nuggets. It was rumored that he built a stadium, which is the most expensive stadium ever built, at $5 billion. He built a stadium that was not wide enough for soccer. And it was going to cost about $100 million or so for him to renovate the stadium to make it wide enough for FIFA to be happy with it for the 2026 World Cup. And in the process, I guess, according to these reports, Stan Kroenke wanted to get more money from FIFA to pay for these renovations and or get a bigger piece of the pie in exchange for these renovations. And FIFA was like, nah, we're not going to do that. So Stan Kroenke said, well, you don't get my stadium, and apparently is pulling out. Also, this is in response to a big debate over where the 2026 World Cup final is going to be held. LA was in the running, or at least in that conversation, to host the final alongside AT&T Stadium in Dallas and MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And I mentioned, Jerry, well, AT&T Stadium is in Arlington, Texas, but the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex obviously would be the host city Metroplex for that event. With LA out, it almost feels like, at least for the World Cup final, that Jerry World is in the driver's seat with regards to hosting, and they want it bad. In fact, the Hunt family, who owns FC Dallas and has been a big part of bringing the World Cup to Dallas, they want to have a situation where over 200,000 people would be ticketed for the World Cup final. Now, how would they do that? Well, AT&T Stadium has these end zones that kind of open up, and the doors, you know, basically open up, and you can create a huge plaza that can have over 100,000 people both inside and technically outside the stadium. But in addition, it's in a complex that also has Choctaw Stadium, where the Texas Rangers used to play, Globe Life Field, where the Texas Rangers currently play, their stadium that's been open for a few years. They also have Texas Live, which is like an outdoor amphitheater venue, Lowe's Hotel, which also has a plaza. They even have Six Flags Over Texas and Six Flags Hurricane Harbor. This space, which is about 2 to 3 square miles, could hold 1 million people if they wanted to. But I think between those stadiums and at least those complexes, they want to have events where people are ticketed to enter those stadiums. And they think in excess of 200,000 people could be a part of the World Cup final in some way, not just the people inside the stadium, but the people at all these other stadiums around that complex. And it would be incredible. I think also logistically, it would make sense to have, you know, a team play on the West Coast in the semifinal, a team play on the East Coast in the semifinal, and then they meet in the middle at Jerry World. But that is a long way away from being decided. I think Jerry World probably is the front runner to host it, especially given all the things that they want to do and all the, you know, ways for FIFA to make money off of the final from people who aren't even inside the stadium. But I think the biggest thing is LA not being a part of this is a remarkable development. And it's also possible, according to some reports, that Vegas, who did not bid to host the World Cup because Allegiant Stadium had not yet been built, Allegiant Stadium could host games now. They could shift everything from LA to Vegas. And that is a huge development. And especially if Vegas then becomes into the running for the World Cup final, which I don't think it will be, because there's so many, again, they had so many cities ahead of them that went through the bidding process that put in all the work. And for Vegas to kind of just walk in and take it would not sit well with a lot of people. But I think Vegas being in the driver's seat to host games now that LA has decided to be out, again, according to these reports, I think is one thing that we probably saw coming. Vegas is too hard to turn down. And I'm sure when you look at, you know, fans coming in from around the world, they're probably like, Vegas, yes, please. Vegas has the hotel space. They have the, obviously, the venue space. Allegiant Stadium is one of the biggest stadiums in the National Football League. I believe it's 70,000 people can fit in there. And it's a destination city. People want to go to Vegas. And that is always going to win out in the end. And Vegas is full of money. It prints money. The fact that it doesn't have its own money
is remarkable to me. I go to Vegas quite a bit, and Vegas is a town that if you have money, you can get far. I don't have that money, so I don't get that far as some people, but Vegas is going to be something that FIFA is going to be hard pressed to turn away, especially if they come to them and say, yes, if LA is out, we want in. So we need to stay in tune with what happens there. There's also the fact that, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is happening. It's finalized. Nothing has been finalized yet. These are all just reports. We are a long way away from some of these decisions being made, and we have to wait for those decisions to be official before we start thinking about some of these alternatives. So we will leave it there. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, Jozy Altidore starts a debate. The 2014 World Cup team or the 2023 team? Who's winning in a one-off game? I have my man Eric Schmitz on to talk about it after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey everyone, are you looking for the latest gear for your U.S. national teams, Major League Soccer, the NWSL, or any other team in the world of soccer? The USA SoccerCast has affiliate partnerships that are ready to help you out. Head to linktree.com/USA SoccerCast, where we have links to Homage, Fanatics, the MLS Store, and Breaking Feet. You can get the jersey, shirt, hat, or accessory you're looking for to support your team while also saving some money and helping this show in the process. Again, linktree.com/USA SoccerCast. Click on the links and get your gear. And we thank you as always for your support of the show. All right, we are back and we have a debate. We have to do this debate that we have has dominated the discourse of men's national team Twitter the last day and a half, 2 days. Obviously, if you have not been on Twitter lately, Kicking It, which is a great, great TV series that is on CBS Sports Golazo. It features Kate Abdo, Clint Dempsey, Maurice Sadoo, and Charlie Davies. They had Jozy Altidore on for their most recent episode. And obviously, this show, they ask some hard questions and they talk about the players' careers and things that, you know, other people really aren't talking about. It's a very great show. And on that show, they asked Jozy Altidore about, you know, some of the regrets and some of the things about the 2014 team and even 2017. But he mentioned something very interesting that has dominated the debate online about the 2014 team versus the 2023 team and who would win in a face-off, who would win on the field between those two teams. Here's the clip from Josie Altidore.
Better is a weird word. More complete, I would say, our generation in terms of like just position for position. Better talent wise, like individual, I would say this one now, but not everywhere in certain spots. Does that make sense?
So if the two sides played each other?
If the two sides played each other at full strength, I think think ours would win.
I ain't never got a red card for national team.
Okay. But you think yours would win?
Take that.
There we go.
I think so, yeah.
He's just never got
that
a red card for the national
team. Was nice.
Only in MLS.
Got temper, though, don't he?
Yeah, he heard some cards.
Why are you skipping past?
Yeah, I think she was talking
Spain.
About 2010.
Oh, that team was nice too, wasn't it? That team was nice too.
That's why I said, yeah, 2014 was fine.
My bad. Shoot.
Okay, so the debate is this. Who's winning, the 2014 World Cup team or the 2023 team? And they didn't really specify in 2023 who they were talking about. But I can't debate myself on this show. So I had to bring on my homie, my friend, my partner in crime, Eric Schmitz. Eric Schmitz and I are two-thirds of the World of CONCACAF podcast. It's another podcast that I do. But Eric, first of all, welcome to, I think it's the first time I've had you on this show. We have our own show together, so you really don't have to cross over. But I had to bring you on because I know you have a great perspective on this, being that we're going to be talking about a team that in particular that you really enjoyed. So first of all, Eric, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here. It's great to be talking about, you know, U.S. soccer, something we love.
Yes, yes. We talk about all the teams on World of CONCACAF, but today we're focusing on the team.
We are used to talking about CONCACAF. We are the greatest CONCACAF podcast on the internet. There's like four. Uh-huh. I mean, there might be three or four of them, but I'd say we are arguably the best.
We were probably we're definitely the first. I think we're the first. So
if every podcast was a CONCACAF tournament, we are Nations League.
Exactly. So speaking of that, I want to get in this debate with you because I want to get your take on this back and forth, but on this show, we got to set some ground rules because they kind of, you know, left a couple of things, you know, questioned when they talk about this debate. So here are the ground rules. The ground rule is this. We are talking about the 2014 World Cup team. Mm-hmm. And for the 2023 team, as I mentioned, they don't really mention what team they're talking about. We've had the Nations League. We've had the Gold Cup. We've had these friendlies. And there's been guys that have been on and off of all these teams. So for the purpose of this debate, I am going to select the two-time defending champion Nations League team. So the 2023 Nations League finals roster that took place in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Now, there is one guy on that roster that what everyone thinks about this, they are talking about, but he was not actually on that roster and he has not been on a roster since then. And that's Tyler Adams. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only fair if you were discussing the 2023 team, you have to throw Tyler Adams into that because he is a big part of the core of this team. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's fair to the 2014 team, who can't just put a player on that World Cup team. So for the purpose of this argument, if 2023, we're going to add midfielder Tyler Adams to that roster, to the Nations League roster, and to the 2014 World Cup team, I think it's only fair that we add a midfielder that would have made that team the last cut. Landon,
they should have made that team. Are we allowed
should
to swear?
Have made that team.
Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
No.
Okay.
We don't. We try not to swear. But if you go nuts, we can figure it out.
No,
but
it's okay. I was just going to angrily, you know,
be angry.
Chastise Jurgen 9 years later about him being a doofus.
So we have Landon Donovan on the 2014 team for this argument. We have Tyler Adams in this. The other part of this debate that I think people are really kind of leaving out of this equation, but we're going to add into it, is that the coaches are the coaches. So Jurgen Klinsmann is still coaching the 2014 team. Greg Berhalter is still coaching. Actually, it's the Nations League. So we can't even do Greg Berhalter.
VJ, that changes the calculus a lot.
That changes the calculus, yeah. So I think for the purpose of this, we're still going to have Greg Berhalter because he was named coach during the Nations League.
Yeah.
So he is the coach of the 2023 Nations League team, despite the fact that he wasn't on the sidelines for that particular tournament.
Spiritually, Berhalter was overseeing everything.
Correct.
Even though BJ is, you know, infallible, as his results show.
Exactly. So now that we have these ground rules in place, 2014 versus 2023, I want you to, I'm going to start with this question. Just the basic, you don't have to get into the weeds yet, but just say, which team, 2014, 2023, do you think is the team that would win one game on a neutral site for all the marbles?
One game on a neutral site, I would see, I would have to, and we'll get into the depths of this, but I think one game, I'm taking 2014 right now. I think I have to go with that.
Okay, so the basic 30,000 foot view, not necessarily getting into the details, but why 2014 versus 2023?
Well, we talked about this in our group chat. I do feel like 2014, I think there's six guys. If you had to make a combined roster of where guys were in 2014, like 2014, Michael Bradley is starting at the six. Like, that is like peak. He was incredible. Mm-hmm. If you go down the roster, I think you're getting at least six guys from 2014 in your starting 11. Like, arguably, I'll throw this analogy out there. I think it is a very NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys thing.
Absolutely.
NSYNC has the greater individual talent, which I would say is 2014. You know, you've got your superstar power, and the overall group, the depth, is in 2023. Your BSB, just they're all solid. Because, I mean, the bottom end of the roster, if you had to take, you know, if you took your starting 11 and then you took the other 12 guys in your roster and you compared them, I think you're taking the 2023 squad. But 2014 is just, I think a lot of it was mentality. I definitely think back against the wall, getting that veteran attitude, guys who, I mean, 2014, half those guys were around for Confederations Cup. They beat friggin' Spain. You know, if they can beat Spain, they can beat the 2023 U.S. men's national team. I feel like when you guys got guys like Dempsey, I mean, Michael Bradley, like Jermaine Jones is going to murder anyone on the 2023 squad. And like, there are some dogs on the 2023 squad, but like, no one had like the no one on the 2023 squad, even my dear beloved son Tyler Adams, is gonna touch Jermaine Jones just like will and intensity.
So I think your analogy is correct with NSYNC Backstreet Boys. I think you got it reversed though, in my opinion, right? Oh. I think the individual best talent, not necessarily every guy, but I think the more talented team on paper is the 2023 squad. I mean, if you think about it, like, you want to compare the MLS versus Europe, you have all these guys playing in Europe. Almost everyone in the starting 11 on the 2023 squad is playing in Europe. Christian Pulisic is likely going to go down as arguably the greatest men's national team player ever. Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Tim Weah, there are guys on this roster that are going to be considered all-timers. We consider them all-timers right now.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything to suggest that that is going to change moving forward.
I mean, I would say 2014 squad, how many Nations Leagues have they won? They got nothing to show for it. Yeah.
Zero. Yeah, nothing to show for it. And that is not their fault. It's not their fault. But if we're comparing, we're comparing. And again, this Nations League team defended the greatest, you know, greatest tournament trophy on the planet. But I digress.
Unassailable.
But I think when you look at this squad, I think 2014 was the better team. And yes, they have some dogs. They have some, again, world-class talent, guys who had proven themselves. Michael Bradley, as you said, you know, he just retired. This kind of how this conversation came up is Michael Bradley just retired. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people kind of soil their thought of him because of what happened in 2017. And he and Jozy Altidore got a very, very huge portion of that blame.
Unfairly so.
And I think it was even, we talked about this, I think it was even worse in the case of Jozy Altidore. Jozy Altidore went through hell and back many, many times because of what people perceive to be his play. When I will tell you, and I know you know this, he's the only one that ever apologized after 2017, at least on the field after the game. He's the only one that acknowledged the fans at that game. He's the only one that apologized to the fans after that game.
Yeah. And that was who he was, because he's also the one that came over and shook all of our hands and thanked us for coming when we went to St. Vincent. There were 20 mm-hmm. of us there, and the man came over and said, "Thank you guys for coming. That's awesome." It's like,
yes,
that yeah. I'll defend Josie forever, because he was that dude. He was a good guy, and I obviously dealt with some injury stuff. He dealt with some form stuff, dealt with some club stuff, but you know, the numbers speak for themselves. Like, the man scored goals for the national team.
And only two guys have scored goals more than him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also, if we're including Landon on this 2014 team, both of them were on this team. Clint Dempsey, arguably, in my opinion, the greatest men's player that has ever lived. Landon Donovan, a lot of people think he's my guy. The way I think of Clint Dempsey.
Yeah. And I'll even throw this out there. Like, if you said it was 2014 versus 2026, what we know is coming down the line, I will have a different answer. But I think where all these guys are in their career and where they are as players versus where everyone was as players, like, yes, Matt Turner's fantastic keeper. He has been dynamite for the national team. Like, he's been rock solid. He's one of the first names in the team sheet. But he's not 2014 Tim Howard. Like, Tim Howard, that was on the tail end of, like, his peak. But the man was, like, a legitimate one of the best goalkeepers in the world. Matt Turner's not that. I mean, Tim Howard almost won that game against Belgium, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, by himself. I think, as I mentioned, like, there are guys from that 2014 team where I'd pick them over guys on this 2023 squad, even though the bottom end, the individual talents there, like, you see this just in, like, personal life. Like, you think about the guys you played soccer with, like, when you were little. Like, no one knew what they were doing. No one could kick a ball. And kids now just are good at it. Kids have foot skill. Like, the American player has grown so much. But there's that mentality thing and what it means to be the U.S. national team. Like, fighting, you know, that intensity, I don't know if that's there. And if you're talking about winning one game, if there's something at stake, I think I trust guys like Bradley and Altidore and Dempsey and Jones to, you know, win the fight. That's just me personally.
This is where we kind of get into the weeds, right? Like,
yeah,
when I think of the 2014 team, and just to be clear, I agree with you. I think, one game for all the marbles, give me the 2014 team. And I'm not saying that the 2023 team is trash, and I don't think you are either.
No. They have two nations leagues. How can you talk smack about two
this? Is more about like, hey, again, this is in a battle for your life. You out there, you may think differently, but in the battle for my life, when my life in the line, I get to select a team, it's going to be this 2014 team again with Landon Donovan. I think if honestly, if it's between these two, it's 2014. If it's all the teams in history, I think we can all agree that 2002 would kill any team that the U.S. has ever produced, and it won't be close. This team, I mean, that's a team that was literally the semifinals of the World Cup was stolen from them by a handball. So, like that, like, and if we get to that semifinal, we may not be beating Brazil with peak Ronaldo, R9, but we're at least in that final, because we're beating South Korea and we're getting to that final. And at least, again, as they say in Dumb and Dumber, at least you have a chance. You're saying there's a chance. So,
but I mean, we mentioned the 2009 Confederations Cup squad, like, they beat Spain, like, Spain at the peak, like, Spain, greatest team on the planet for years. Spain, like, they got the result. So are you putting guys like, you know, Dempsey and Bradley and Donovan and Howard, like, they got the job done? So I don't know, it's really tough to compare eras, because especially in the international game, like, results are so unique. Like, there is the randomness of it, and I think that's one of the reasons that it's like supporting the U.S. is so wonderful, because, I mean, if you go down the depth chart, eventually, like, U.S. soccer doesn't stack up to other countries. But when you get, you know, to the 23, to the 11, like, yeah, like the current squad could ball against just about any team on the planet right now. But if you got to roll out D squads, our D squad against Brazil's D squad is getting crushed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like an any given Sunday thing. And, you know, it's who's going to fight for that inch. And you got to have the mentality that you're going to fight and kill the other guy for that inch.
So also when I look at this, you know, we just compared a few teams of which there are several guys who are on all of those teams, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about 2014 versus 2023, I didn't mention his name because he was not in the Nations League roster, but DeAndre Yedlin definitely fits in this role of the 2023 team. He was also on the 2014 team and remember was one of those surprise inclusions on that team and broke out in that World Cup.
Yeah.
And people were, myself included, I was one of those guys like, yo, DeAndre Yedlin has no business being on this team. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, yo, DeAndre Yedlin not only had every business being on this team and proved me wrong in the process, but man, I can't wait to see him over the next 10 years. And sure enough, we're almost 10 years in and the man is still ticking. But like, when you look at, you know, when I consider these teams, like especially 2014, I consider Clint Dempsey in 2014, not necessarily the Clint Dempsey of 2009, the Jozy Altidore of 2009. I consider Landon Donovan of 2014, who, as we know, retired a few months after World Cup because he didn't make the team. But even with that, right, Clint Dempsey at the peak of his of his career, at the peak of his trade, Jozy Altidore entering his peak, Landon Donovan at his peak, Michael Bradley entering his peak, DeAndre Yedlin, you know, still young, Tim Howard, arguably the greatest goalkeeper at that World Cup. Like, if you had said that he was in line to win the Golden Glove, like, I thought he should have won it just based on that that Belgium game alone. Still the greatest goalkeeping performance in the history of the World Cup. 100 years. There's a lot of guys on this roster. DeMarcus Beasley, still doing it, right? At that point, he was in his fourth World Cup, and he had moved from midfielder to defender, and he was just the best left back in the country. Like, he could do it all. Chris Wondolowski is on this roster, and I know people, like, ride him for the miss, which, you know, he was offside for. So. Yeah, but and that's fine. But yeah, like you said, Jermaine Jones, like the way Jermaine Jones played, I think would be a problem in today's game. Like, not just for our team, for any team. If you line up Jermaine Jones from 2014 against the Netherlands in the 2022 World Cup,
yeah,
he's getting a red card in the first 10 minutes of the game because the game has been changed so much. But everybody in the world would be like, man, I would love to have a Jermaine Jones on my team because he was an absolute beast in the midfield. And he had the opportunity to do, you know, the spectacular, which he did during the 2014 World Cup with that great goal against Portugal.
You know, in prep for this, like, I was like thinking about how the current team doesn't really have a Jermaine Jones. Like, Weston McKennie, great player, very skilled. Lovely guy. Yunus Musah, amazing player. Like, these kids are going to be great players for a long time. They're going to be very valuable to the national team. But, like, they do – it almost is a personality thing where it's like Jermaine Jones was always, like, all business. Whereas, you know, Wes is goofball. You know, Yunus always smiling. Like, Jermaine Jones, you line up against him, like, you know – going for a free kick, going into the box, and he looks you in the eyes, you know he can murder you on the spot. You know, he is not there to mess around.
But the other thing that I think is different from Jermaine Jones versus Wes McKennie, I actually do think Wes McKennie has those qualities.
Yeah, they're
but
in
because
him.
He, you just but because he's so great, we can't afford for him to be Jermaine Jones, right? Like, Jermaine Jones was not the best player on that team. And if we lost Jermaine Jones, it would be a hole, but it could be filled by some other guys on that team. I think Kyle Breckerman, like, again, a lot of people dog Kyle Breckerman, but for a run from basically like 2012 to 2015, he was the dude in the midfield, right? Like, whenever Jermaine Jones wasn't in, we could put Kyle Breckerman in and there'd be a solid thing. Graham Zusi could come in, be solid. Alejandro Bedoya could come in, be solid. Brad Davis could come in and give you a shift. So yeah. we didn't, there was some drop off, but there was at least a couple of guys that were sort of like for him. And mm-hmm. again, it's not like we relied on him to create attack or anything like that. He just did that, right? He just went on and said, hey, I'm going to shoot from 40 yards. Good. Yeah. Game over. Good to see you. He would do that from time to time. Wes McKinney is so integral to our success, and we've seen that. There's a lot of times when Wes McKinney's not in the field, we look terrible as a team. And it's not because the replacement is terrible. It's because the whole style of play changes when Wes McKinney is not in the game from when, you know, when someone else is subbing on for him. So I think that's the difference between them is like every time we're like, yo, we need somebody out here to be a dog. It's like, wait, Wes, not you. Like, appreciate you, but not you. No, you just, no, not you either. Like, we have it. We need to have a guy that's like not great enough to be the star, but great enough to be on the field and know that if like a body enforcer that we're like, hey, yeah. if we're rubbing shoulders, yo, man, I'm getting in this and I'm going to make sure that I can, you know, protect all our guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting you say that. It's like, if you, Jermaine Jones was the kind of guy, it's like you could, I mean, he never really got into card trouble though. That was the interesting thing. Like, he played that way, but he stayed within himself.
Mm-hmm.
With Wes, your argument there, I feel like part of that low is look at the argument we're having already about the current national team, talking about Tyler Adams being out. Like, that we already have more midfielders than spots at this mm-hmm. point. So it's like, could you not afford to lose Weston McKennie if he decides to square up against him? I mean, he did in Nations League. The man got booted and still got it done. But, you know, I don't know if – I don't know if it's that big of a concern. If Wes wants to just be an enforcer, I think they'll be okay. Because, you know what, you're talking about them looking rough with him off the field. Sometimes they look rough with him on the field. You know, it's like we've watched Berhalter ball for 5 years now. Like, they don't always look good like they do against pretty much every time they play Mexico. You know, it's like – there is some variance there.
I think with Wes, though, I think the issue with Wes not being on the field is Wes is an integral part of our attack. He, you know, especially on set pieces, he's arguably our best header, right? Like, best guy in the air when it comes to attacking. And we've seen him have some terrific goals using his head off of set pieces. Whereas Jermaine Jones, we weren't necessarily asking him to do that. Yeah, he could, you know, provide some cover on defense, but we weren't asking for him to be like the linchpin in the middle and be like, yo, whenever there's a set piece, go forward and head the ball in. And we're actually actively looking for him the way we are doing with a, you know, Wes McKinney, even Yunus Musa, like that box to box. It's funny. Some people would kind of say sometimes, especially in his national team, that the, despite the fact the two play together, that they both are like subs for each other as well. If we wanted to go that route, I think when you mentioned Tyler Adams, I think that's the real key here is the fact that he's not on this roster. We have to add him for the purpose of this, but the formation changes with him because with him not in the lineup, that's where we found where we got the, you know, 4-2-3-1 as opposed to the 4-3-3 we've been playing the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk like tactics and like really get in the weeds as far as like positioning and, you know, who really brings what, like, I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. I'm here to talk vibes, you know? Like, mm-hmm. there are other podcasts that are, you know, probably good for, like, the minutiae. Very, very good minutiae. And, like, I listen to those podcasts, but, like, I cannot speak to any of that. It's like, it's who's the dog? Who's going to wear the crest? And, you know, for 90 minutes, be the one that's like, there's no way I'm losing this game. I think that's what it comes down to in the original discussion.
Yeah, I think to wrap it up on my end, I think there's a couple guys and this could, you know, you can call me jaded or whatever, you can call me nostalgic, but Pete Dempsey in 2014, Jozy Altidore in 2014, those guys are some of the best players that the world had at the time. They were playing at that level. Jozy Altidore had a run that no U.S. player has ever matched. He scored in like, it was like 5 or 6 qualifiers in a row, like every single time. And they were banger goals too. And every single time you needed him to score, he could score. Clint Dempsey, just like you said, he had that like yo, if you think I'm planning on losing today, you outside your mind. And he had, I mean, he had a little fight in him too. Like, you know, Deuce Face wasn't him making fun of somebody. That was him inserting himself and saying, yo, I will end you. I'm from Nacogdoches. So like, we have those guys, and it's not to say that these guys in the 2023 team don't have that. They just don't have it yet. And that's because they're so young that they haven't needed to develop that yet. I'm looking forward over the next 3 or 4 years to see who will be that guy that's, you know, if in the World Cup in 2026 and someone tries to step to Christian Pulisic or step to, you know, Tyler Adams, who's going to be that guy is going to be like, nah, you step to me first. And they're the one that kind of inserts and presses the issue and says the USA will not be intimidated. That was the 2014 team, I think. So I'm really, you know, it's funny because we're choosing between children a little bit, but
they're all my beautiful children.
But I mean, Deion Sanders ranks his children. In this case, I'm ranking 2014 over 2023.
Yeah. Prime, we are not. But yeah, I get the sentiment. And, you know, like I said, this conversation is like 2023 versus 2014, because I don't think 2026 versus 2014 is going to be a discussion. Because one of them will have won the World Cup and the other one will have not. So, that's right. You know,
we'll have won two more Nations Leagues in that time.
That's true. Yeah. Sitting on four Nations League titles and a World Cup star above the crest. Like, you can't discuss.
They had a varsity jacket. Their jacket would be full.
Greatest Generation will be locked in until, you know, we win the next five World Cups as well before they, you know, shut down, you know, move it to the moon.
Before we get out of here, Eric, tell the people where they can find you and our show, the World of CONCACAF podcast.
Yes. For our friends who like soccer and happen to live in North or Central America or the Caribbean, we have
a podcast. Or you don't and you want to learn about it.
Yeah. If you want to learn about the dumbest confederation, and I speak of that like lovingly, like it's endearing how ridiculous our local confederation is. And see, the great thing is, like, you don't have to wake up early to watch local soccer. So we like to talk about it and like build it up, because there's always interesting things going on. So make sure you tune into the World of CONCACAF podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on social media at PodCACAF, you know, pod as in podcast, and then CACAF as in, you know, Central America, Caribbean Association Football, you know, that kind of thing.
Listen to that show after you listen to this one. If I was on that show, I'd tell you to listen to that show before you listen to this one. But Eric,
well, we don't have a recent episode, so it's not like we can like say, hey, yeah, make sure you listen to the episode we just dropped, because, you know, getting three schedules together is tough. But Nations League is coming back.
The United States are back in it, so we will be having more content around the Nations League, because that is what we live for. So Eric Schmitz of the World of CONCACAF podcast, my brother, good to see you. Thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate you.
Love you, buddy.
And that will do it for episode 118 of the USA SoccerCast. Thank you for listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter. We are at USA SoccerCast. Don't forget, we have affiliate programs, affiliate links with Homage, Fanatics, MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. So head to linktree.com/USA SoccerCast. You can click on those links, support the show, and you can save some money while getting the freshest gear. Nations League is around the corner. The holiday is around the corner. Lots of gifts that you can do. And please send us some topic suggestions like this one as we move forward. You can email them to usasoccercast@gmail.com or tag us in your questions on Twitter. So we will talk to you again soon. For Eric Schmitz, I'm down the line. Peace.